Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis with you up until 1:30 today. This is the Friday edition of the program and it's October 12th, 2018. Call us at the usual number 4341790 and you can send us your emails as well and we interact with you on WhatsApp. Well, as we speak, we're told that the police and the army have been involved in a joint operation in one of the trouble spots that I really don't want to get involved in naming that particular spot right now. But I think that to some extent, people would consider that based on some of the events that have been occurring in our country in recent weeks, this is something that is long overdue. If you listen to the Prime Minister last weekend, she made the observation that when it comes to automatic weapons in Barbados, this was not supposed to happen about here, as she put it. And clearly that was a signal that the government was going to take a firmer stand. This operation today may very well represent the kind of action that we are likely to see in other parts of the community, parts of the country. I know that there are some people who will immediately cry out against it, and then there are others who will welcome it. One observation made in a chat that I'm in this morning was that what we are seeing is a trend which suggests that maybe people have lost the kind of respect that they ought to have for the police, and if you have to resort to joint police and soldier units as a means of trying to deal with some of these problems, then it implies that we have a problem. That is open for discussion as well. Another matter that we are watching is how is the government's debt swap going? My information is that it has been hugely successful according to one source, and do not be surprised if it comes in the vicinity of 90% or more. However, others look at it this way. It is as if you had no choice because there are many people who said yes who would otherwise have wanted to say no. My information is that the commercial banks and major insurance companies have had a real problem with this debt swap, but based upon whatever negotiations or discussions that have taken place between them and government, they seem to have come around. It's left to be seen just what will happen in this regard, because there are some people who are still opposed to it. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Friday edition. Hello. Welcome to the program. Let's take the first caller. Hello.
Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm pretty good, you know. David, I have a point to raise, but before you go to that, I want to ask you one question.
What's that?
I don't know if you would be willing to tell me. What's your real title at Voice of Barbados?
That's public knowledge. I'm station manager.
Station manager. Okay. So that means you're in charge of the entire operation there?
I wouldn't put it that way. What I would say to you is that I report to Anthony Shaw, who is the CEO of the Nation Corporation.
Okay.
And there is a reconfiguration of responsibilities within this organization. So that's as much as I can tell you. So don't believe that that is so all-embracing, because it isn't.
Okay, thank you for the information.
Right.
Now, you may ask why you asked this question, and I will tell you. I believe you that hold such a position, you need to bring some balance, a decency back to this particular program.
Okay, tell me, where is the lack of balance?
Well, sir, let me forget balance then. I believe you need to bring some more decency.
All right, tell me where we're falling down. I'm here to listen.
Exactly, that's what I can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you say. I would talk to you about this before you get to my main point. Now, I know sometimes you will get callers from your callers program, and they and the moderators will go into some very, muscular discussions. But at the same time, it'd be sort of like self fit for the air, so to speak. I love the right word he's using. You can still sit down and enjoy it, even though sometimes it gets sort of heated. But what I discover is that there's a situation now that I am watching concerning a quality program. And it was very evident yesterday when a caller who we referred to as Mr. P called the program. And to be honest with you, he was so hostile and angry at the beginning of his speech. And I don't understand why he would come to areas like that in that sort of position almost every time he called the program. And the moderator, he didn't even win a discussion with him. He started out that the way he started out to make his contribution. And I believe we all need to curtail that sort of behavior. Because it don't sound good. Not only people in Barbados listen to this program, it goes all over the world. Sometimes I hear people even mention that people listen in Afghanistan, listen to the program. I don't feel that we should continue to accept this kind of behavior from not only him, from any of the callers to the program. And Mr. P obviously talked about Bob Marley. And this is sort of behavior. I now hear Bob Marley advocate that sort of behavior when it comes to hostility and that sort of anger. So I think you all need to curtail that part of the program as far as he is concerned. Because we don't hear it coming from the other callers, sometimes they'll be sort of like, not hostile, but a muscular discussion. Like I said to you, but it's still something that could go out on areas, but not that sort of behavior coming
from. Look, you know, there are some people in the country who feedback to moderators and to callers about what they say and how they say it. And you can find that either as a moderator or as a caller, you believe that you have a reputation to live up to. So if you go along the path of behaving as though every time you come on the air you have to share lashes, then you start to get this reputation among some people as the person who shares lashes. And therefore, some people believe you must continue in that vein. Maybe he is developing that kind of reputation, and that's the feedback that he's had. Along with that, though, there are other people who will say to you, I don't necessarily like it. And you have to take both and consider which one you are going to go with, or if you're going to find a middle ground. Mr. P has to determine that for himself. I don't know that I've had a lot of negative reaction to it. There are times when I myself consider that it is nothing but contrived anger. And if it's working for him, fine. But I don't know that it is a problem that I have to address at the moment. If anybody has to address the problem, he would have to deal with it. But I don't think it's injuring us to that extent.
Yeah, but I don't like to hear that sort of hostility.
But that's, you see, it comes down to your likes and your dislikes. And from where I sit, I have to weigh, is it harming us or isn't it? I don't think that it's a problem.
Okay, if you think so.
Not here, nor in Afghanistan.
I hope that's the case. Now, let me get my point. Now, only yesterday I heard the president of the Democratic Party speaking about the lecture that would be held today. And she said that the lecture would be about the rebuilding of the Democratic Labour Party. And that left me to ask a question, and this question is directed to Irene Garner. I would like her to tell me if the plan to bring the people that they were speaking about to talk about the IMF, if it has now backfired, and what would be likely outcome this plan if it do come off. I would like her to answer that question for me.
Why is that important to you?
I mean, if I get the president now saying that they are speaking about the rebuilding the party, but I think that should be the first item on the agenda for the Democratic Labour Party.
But what does the IMF have to do with the Democratic Labour Party as an institution? They're not in government right now.
But that's what I want to know, because you said there was bringing a team to speak about the IMF.
But that wasn't in the context of rebuilding the Democratic Labour Party, was it?
No, I spoke to your conference already, but I said to you she was at a branch meeting in St. Andrew. And what I get coming from her is that they had, or it appeared to me, sorry, as though they had come to bring some sort of negative light on the IMF, or about the IMF. So so that's why you ask the question, if it backfired now simply because of the agreement that the Barbados Labour government, sorry, has not been able to sign with the IMF.
Well, I know one thing. I was listening back to some of the speeches that were made on the last night of the campaign, the Democratic Labour Party campaign in May. And I have a piece there with Irene Sandiford Garner saying that as long as the IMF came, it would mean the immediate devaluation of the Barbados dollar. I remember I saw that.
Okay.
And, you know, at some point, perhaps she may want to address that. When it comes to the IMF, I remember Dr. Don Marshall saying that he would stage a one-man march if the IMF came to Barbados, a demonstration.
I remember that.
It would be interesting for him to tell us whether he still plans to hold that particular demonstration or not, and if he's changed his mind, why. But, you know, there are some people who have made some pretty daring statements before the IMF came, and they have not been forgotten. Fortunately, I didn't watch all of the Democratic Labour Party meeting the night of the campaign, that last night. But I can go back on YouTube now and pull it up and listen to all the speeches. I listened to people saying, you know, how much lashes they were going to put in the Barbados Labour Party and send them packing and all of that sort of thing. But it's interesting.
That's why you asked the question. You're close, but saying I believe the plan has not backfired.
She said in the speech that 10,000 people would go home. Mm-hmm. She said that.
I was following them.
If you want to, you can go back there and check it.
I was following them very carefully, especially she and Don Valencia was on their back, right through. So, Devlin, thank you for the time I spent with you.
Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Hello,
Miss Ellis. A blessed day to you, sir.
Same to you.
I trust that this weekend coming will be a beautiful one for you and the family and for the station and for the entire country, you know?
Yes.
Because we need that. And always we need the blessings of the Lord to be our guide and to be our director. It's very important. And regardless of what we may say or feel, one should never forget these important aspects of our lives and of our existence. It's important, you know? Anything you want to make a comment on what I just said?
No, there's nothing to comment on.
Now, I heard you speaking there just now. I want to just say this, by the way. I heard you went back and you were mentioning some things that people said during the last election.
Yeah.
I also remember it was said to Barbadians, we are going to talk to you and we are going to keep you in touch with whatever we are doing. We will not do anything without informing you. Now, let me ask you this question. If that was true then, is it true now when the people's investment was being slashed? Were there any discussion on that before? Do you remember any discussion being taken place about that?
I thought that the Prime Minister of Barbados has been talking to the people of Barbados about these things from the very outset. I think if it is one thing that I've been hearing Barbadians say, is that there have been discussions. And in the case of the debt swap and all of that, as far as I know, there was a lot of discussion about it in recent days, and there was a forum and that sort of thing for people. So if you think that that's not talking with the people, well, that's your opinion.
But, Mr. Ellis, you know, people do form their own opinions, but it's my view that they were not. This was not told to them. Otherwise, why do you think the kind of outcry would have been what it is now. It would not have been. You know what I mean? Anyway, I want to move off of that because I really don't want to. Miss Ellis, earlier in the week, I think it must have been Monday. Yes. When you were speaking, I was off the phone then. And I remember hearing you pull up some news, I think, out of London on one of the newspapers, where one very wealthy person from somewhere in Europe said, but he labeled Miss Motley and I don't know if it was Miss Moore who, as niggers, something like that.
Yeah.
Remember he said that he tried to make contact with them and then because he couldn't, then he labeled them as niggers, something
yes,
like that.
Remember that? Yeah.
Now let me say to you, and I want to say to him, and all persons like him, and I just hope that our government never, ever entertain him or any part of any company that he wants to come into. Because when he can look to degrade and call us by those derogatory terms, he had me so mad when he said that. He must be a human. Look, when we have our depressions coming to think that they can do things like this to our prime minister and our people, that something going to be wrong with them when they think they can come here and then become wealthy off our backs, and because then they don't hear from our prime minister that they want to use this term. I as a barbarian.
She wasn't prime minister at the time.
Listen to me, okay? But let me say to you, whether she were then or now, I resent it. It is disrespectful, and especially now she's prime minister. You don't even want prime minister. I'm saying you don't even want to see his name on nothing wrong here. No way, Mr. Ellis. He gone mad. But look, when you read that, I was so upset to hear somebody can label our prime minister. You said she wasn't there that then, but rather then or now, in that terms, I don't accept it at all. And no Barbadian will accept that. Now, I heard some things during this week. I want to agree with Mr. I think that's his name, or Indari, one of them, who said he proposed a bank for the credit union. I wholeheartedly accept and agree with that. I want that to be done as soon as possible because we're speaking about how the banks are behaving and so on. I want to throw my hat in the ring with him on that behalf. But here it is now. On the other part, I don't know if you are going to call in the troops this time around for me. But I want to say here, I heard in Parliament on Tuesday, they were debating a bill of speaking about law reform. Mr. Ellis, although I welcome the bill and what they were talking about reforming laws so that we can get speedier businesses in Barbados for the development and so on, and to cause our country to grow and develop. I accept all those. But you know, Ms. Ellis, I heard lawyers speaking, and they were heralding a lot of high praise on the Attorney General then. But I'll tell you this, my ears were itching to hear if either one of them or in those documents it was mentioned that these reforms will include lawyers in Barbados who are taking people's money and not paying them or giving it to them when they like and if they like. I was listening for that. I was also listening as far as land transactions are concerned, where we saw or we heard some time ago Barbadians who were complaining about lawyers who sold their lands and so on. Mr. Ellis, I'm saying to you, and you've heard very well over the years, where Barbados has been complaining over the years for things that have been happening to them. And even when they go to the Bar Association, for years, not a single word. How is it possible Now, after hearing what a former speaker who were had accepted people's money and so on, did not pay, and he was highly criticized by even those who are presenting the bill now, not a single word, Mr. Ellis, about that. Don't you find that to be uncaring as far as Barbadians are concerned?
This issue was about law reform.
But that, Mr. Ellis, all that is
it was about law. It was about reforming, setting up a mechanism where you could keep your various pieces of legislation under review and update those pieces of legislation on a more timely basis, because we have so much that is legislated that is archaic, old-fashioned, and has not kept pace with time. I think we've heard the Prime Minister in opposition speak about it on several occasions, and I think it's a step in the right direction. Now, the concerns that you have about the complaints about lawyers and that sort of thing, I think that is more wrapped up in the discussion about what is happening with the Barbados Bar Association.
And the fact that
there are two schools of thought on this. One is whether it is acceptable to continue with the situation where lawyers are the ones who are presiding over the tribunal that looks at these matters, or whether we should have a completely different arrangement. So that's where I think that particular discussion lies.
Mr. Ellis,
yes.
Let me say to you that if we are talking about reform of laws, what you just mentioned are about law as well, about regulating the law, not only about having business done in Barbados as far as the economy is concerned. We are speaking about reforming laws, and all of these things involve law. And you cannot separate the two, Ms. Ellis. When you can have a situation like what is taking, and you have heard several times the cries of Barbadians for all these years. I mark you, and I want you to take note of this. Neither government in our country that have the multiplicity of laws has ever done anything about it. You could ask the question, why would this not happen? Good God. I mean, you cannot talk about law reforms and not include these in it. This is law too. And I'll tell you this. I have a friend who lives in the States who said, this is what he said, and I mentioned this when the other government was in office as well. And the United States, that when has collected money and has money to pay to a client, he has 7 days in which to give that client that money, and if it has anything to do with a company, it is a month. And I believe, Mr. Ellis, I honestly believe that there has got to be a better way of helping the public in this country to feel more comfortable. And I'm not saying that all lawyers do these things. We are talking about the reform of it. So it would include all of those who would be doing unsavory things and those who are not. I'm speaking about the entire thing. And if you can't talk about law, Ms. Ellis, in only one area, it has to go across the board.
Down to Brass Stacks, hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
First thing, I want to thank your caller for really criticizing me from the depth of my heart. Now, every morning, I see tons of people in Oysters can't get a bus to get to work, can't get a bus to the school, and true not for the supervisor. Almost every day, I read in paper about school children standing up, each other fighting, involved in brawls. You read about the gun violence that's almost rampant all over this country. You're hearing about people who are not sure if they're going to have a job anymore. You read about an 82-year-old man who will have to live 15 more years to get what is his. I would like any honest person to call this program and tell me if there's something to smile about. You know, I always put myself in people's positions. Right? I don't just talk. I get paid, and why my earnings don't even last a week? Because I try to help people. They only wish I could do more.
May I ask you this question? Why do you believe this man has been placed in this position? Because of?
Well, then you see those kind of benefits that you would get. Those attractive benefits. It's a temptation, David.
Most to do what?
You're talking about the 82-year-old man?
Yes. Why do you believe this has happened to him?
I can't explain that. Only the prime minister or somebody else in government can explain that.
But I thought that this matter has been spoken of to the point where we've been running ads and stuff on it. Basically, giving a background to the country's situation. Secondly, the Prime Minister last weekend said when the bond issue was, when the swap was closed, the offer was closed, then the government was going to be looking at people in that kind of position, 75 years and over, even though there are people who may say that, you know, people from 70 perhaps should have been included, but she spoke about 75 years and over, recognizing the very plight of that man and people in that situation. But it is not something that has been articulated to us as something that the government sought to do because it just wanted to do it. It simply, these are the options available in a very difficult environment. And
no.
And after you realize the magnitude of it, then you look to see to what extent you can ease the pressure on some people.
Well, I know. And as I always say, I am not blaming the Prime Minister for anything. My few interactions with her, I know she's a very genuine person. I see her as a female, David Thompson. But she has inherited a wicked cat. You can't repair, you got to reconstruct it. All I was saying from the very, very beginning, what she should have said, rather than make promises to people, and I can understand why she made the promises, give me the first 7 years to rebuild. Because it's an easy task, right? It's no easy task.
But on what basis is she going to ask for the first seven? A parliamentary term is 5 years, so how are you going to ask for the first seven?
Let me tell you something, see? You may see it. The way you see it, I can even say the next 10. The way you see it, that last party that called itself a government can't get back. Ever.
Well,
I am saying that.
I'm never going to go that far.
Why going that far?
Because I know that. I know how things can change so rapidly in politics.
Well, I can tell something.
You know, I remember it. I remember 2008. I remember the Barbados Labour Party being swept out of office with Owen Arthur leading that party. And in 2 years, the man who led the Democratic Labour Party to office
circumstances are different, David.
Yeah, but circumstances... Look, that's true. But you and I don't know what the future holds.
Let me tell you something, David.
So to sit down here and say, with certainty, the Democratic Labour Party is going to be in opposition for a minimum of 15 years and that sort of thing. And
yes.
I can't say that.
It's about to be very, very dumb. Let me tell you something.
I want to say what is dumb is...
Can I say something, please?
What is please dumb is to be in a position to make that kind of statement, recognizing the many variables that exist out there in life.
Listen,
that is dumb.
Listen to me, David. That government, based on taxes, would have been the richest government in the history of Barbados. Never before in the history of Barbados were so many taxes imposed on people. What do we have to show for it? Huh? Not a fair truck. Not a garbage truck. Not a bus. My question is, and there's a question, not a statement, and there's nothing that is libelous about a question. That where
that's not true, the money go. That's not true.
It's true. No, it's a question mark.
No. But let me say to you, they're not defamatory about that question.
But let me tell you something, though. If I tell you that you are a shoplifter, you can put me in court. If I ask you, are you a shoplifter? You can put me in court for that. What do you hear about it? So we're asking you.
Well, let me tell you something. If you believe for 1 minute that puts you in a position where you can be defamed, then you go there and ask the average person the wrong question. You see.
And one more thing before you go. I was wondering how I should have started my presentation this morning.
Because you won't get back at all, boy. It's
no,
a price.
No, thanks to that caller. He gave me, but when he tried to fight me, don't he make me stronger, you know?
Don't worry about that.
You can't learn. You ain't going to learn.
All right.
Do it again next week, my brother. Have a pleasant weekend.
Let's move down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Good. I was listening, and the previous caller that just hung up started his conversation by talking about what do we have to smile about, and then he went on about the situation with the government bonds and that type of stuff. And, you know, it really touched a nerve. Fortunately for me, I've lived in various parts of the world. And I can tell you categorically that we here in Barbados have problems. That's part of life. But we have a lot to smile about. And if he or other Barbadians can't see what we have to smile about, then this is one of the major issues that we have.
So what do we have to smile about? You tell us.
All right. Garbage collection, for example. My garbage was not collected for 7 days the other day. But then on the 8th day, it was collected. I've been in countries where there's no such thing as garbage collection, or it could take 3 or 4 weeks.
Where is that? For garbage. Tell me some of those countries that you're talking about.
I've lived in Guyana. Mm-hmm. I have lived in parts of New York. I've lived in Grenada. I've traveled to parts of Europe where when people think Europe, they think that everything works. And that's not the case. They too have their problems. For example, electricity. When electricity goes off in Barbados, generally speaking, you can almost be guaranteed that it'll be back on within a half an hour. And it doesn't really go off that regularly. I mean, these are things to be thankful for. I have broadband Wi-Fi in my house, and I pay compared to other countries, I pay relatively little for that broadband internet access. The post, for example, I almost guarantee that I can get, well, their bills mostly, all of them, but I can almost be guaranteed that I will get my mail in the post. Safety. Recently in Barbados, we have had a number of pockets of crime and that type of stuff. But as a Barbadian, I am comforted to know that, generally speaking, these crimes are isolated, and sooner or later, the perpetrators of these crimes will be brought to justice. I may not be able to say the same thing for white-collar crime in Barbados, but the other types of crime will be brought to justice, and that is a comforting thing. You live in a country, if you live in a country like, for example, when I lived in Guyana, and I use that because it's close to home, there are a number of physical crimes perpetrated upon people, and the mindset is that you will never catch that person. You got to live with it. That's part of life. I don't have that feeling here. Here, I feel that it happened. Give the police some time, and they can catch the person. They can be before the court. What the court do is another story altogether. But at least you have that. You know what I'm talking about? You have that feeling that that justice will sort of prevail at some point in time in the future. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we have a lot to smile about. Weather. Let's talk about weather. I mean, hurricanes, storms, and stuff, fortunately for us, we usually get the tail ends or they miss us. I mean, the last 3 years, we can talk about how many weather systems missed us and then wreaked havoc in other countries. There's a lot to smile about. A lot to smile about. When you take your money out of a bank account because you're only making 1% interest or whatever, you decide to invest that money elsewhere to make more interest. In this particular case, you invest it in government bonds. Investment, by its nature, carries risk. So if the risk have come to pass, if you did not do your due diligence, and the risk has come to pass, and now there is a problem, you can't be beating up on other people. There was a risk, and that risk has come to pass.
All right, let me ask you something. What about the commercial banks, for instance, who towards the latter part of the Democratic Labour Party period in office were coerced to hold government paper and now find that they are being asked to make a big sacrifice for what they were forced to do? I remember the Bankers Association expressing concern about being forced to do that because they said that it was endangering depositors' money. And the government of the day forced it upon them. They now feel as though they've had a double whammy. They had no choice. And now, in these circumstances, they are being asked to make the sacrifice, and ultimately it is the depositors who are being made to make a sacrifice for something that at the time they said was dangerous. Do you recall that?
My thoughts on that is slightly different. You are in a business, and because of the environment, in this particular case, the government, have caused you to do something that causes your business to not be as profitable as you would like it to be. Oh, that's the bankers. Now, let me talk about the bankers. These bankers, name a bank in Barbados in the last 10 years that was not profitable. None of them. All of them were profitable. You got small businesses out there that are suffering because of what the banks have done. And this is what the banks have done prior to the government forcing them to take some bitter medicine. And nobody will, I was going to say nobody complained, but that's not true. People complain. And the banks ignore them. You're talking about really low rates on interest rates on money that they have holding for people. Really high rate on loans. Bank charges on everything. I have absolutely no sympathies for banks. And these small businesses and other businesses are suffering and are not profitable.
Okay.
And here it is that the banks are profitable and they have to get...
Fair enough. We all have the concerns about how the banks are operating. But you know, there's a saying that when your hand is in the lion's mouth, you don't tickle his palate. And the question here is, who pays ultimately? Ultimately, the more you pressure them, the more they pressure us. Because there ain't no regulatory authority in Barbados that it is exercising any real clout over what they do. So they were pressurizing us before the government change. And now that they have the debt exchange, you can anticipate that we will be pressurized even more. So your sympathy is not, you don't have to have sympathy for them. You need to have sympathy for yourself and the rest of us.
This is so true. And I think that the solution to that, like the insurance industry,
is
for the government to
do what?
Put measures in place to in terms
what?
Of regulatory enforcement.
To do what?
For example,
I don't believe it's gonna happen. I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. It is simply this. Banks, for instance, have been upset about the debt swap, the debt exchange. All of a sudden, here they seem to have been able to get it sorted out, and I'm hearing that they have come on board. What I don't know is the quid pro quo. I don't know what the government has promised them in exchange. The government knows full well that it is asking a sacrifice of them. So it's going to be, it is going to set out to be as reasonable as possible in the circumstances. It's going to say, look, if I ask you to give me this, I have to give you something. And you know what that something is likely to be? It's me and you.
This is true. But I suppose the way that I look at it is that at the end of the day, in any organization, in any government, in any country, the poorer you are, no, let me rephrase that, not the poorer you are, the middle class, whether it be upper middle class, lower middle class, or middle class, will suffer the brunt of any measures.
Yes.
That's just a fact of life. The poor normally will get away because, in some countries, because of services that are provided, and the rich, regardless of the country, will always be better off. So we're talking about the middle class. And what the way how I have to look at it is say, okay, well, the middle class will always take the lick. So therefore, I know I can take my lick. Do the bankers get to take some licks? And if they get to take some licks, they start to feel better. Because at the end of the day, whether or not they take licks or the insurance company take licks, me as a middle class person can take.
Maybe they don't do a good enough job of articulating when they're taking licks. That's their business. But I know from what I've read that the Canadian banks, for instance, across the region have been going through a whole set of right-sizing and downsizing because their own analysis says that they have taken blows in the Caribbean a lot. The tourism sector, the post-2008 period, has seen the commercial banks taking some blows. And for me, it has strengthened my view for many years that the rationale for having a national bank was justified because in these circumstances, we now need to have another banking institution that you can turn to as an alternative to what we currently have in this country, where they give you very little interest and then raid your accounts. Because that's what they're doing. All this discussion that is taking place here right now about the bonds and the treasury notes and stuff like that ignores the fact that while the government of Barbados isn't touching your principal, the banks are raiding your accounts. All of ours. All right? And nobody talks about that. That is not an issue. They will give you 1% or whatever that small percentage is. But go and check the fees that they're taking off of your accounts.
I wish each thing to my principal.
Precisely.
So you're right. If I had $100 on the bank at the end of the month, by the time they take out fees and add their interest, I got less than $100. So they have eaten into my principal. And this is so true. And this is the problem that needs to be addressed.
And taking away the money of the small people. First of all, they said to small people some years ago, we don't need you, but if you come here, we're going to eat you for lunch. That's basically what it is.
Yeah. They say that you are supposed to use the ATM so that and save money. I deposit cash in the ATM in a commercial bank in Barbados. Cash. And you know, it takes 4 days to clear. 4 days. You don't think that me as a small business, I need my cash flow, because cash flow is the lifeblood of small businesses. I got to go to the teller because I cannot wait 4 days for cash to clear. And these is the type of things that they're talking about, and then they're going to charge your arm and a leg for going to the teller. And these is the type of things that the government needs to get involved and regulate.
But the government cannot easily regulate it when it is in this kind of situation. That's the point I'm making to you. They cannot easily do that. And the same thing applied to the last administration.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's my view.
With reference to the development bank that you're talking about.
Not development bank. I say national. We need a commercial bank. I'm not talking about a national development bank. I'm saying that we made an error when we got rid of the Barbados National Bank. And we got rid of it because we wanted foreign exchange and because we had this notion that the private sector could do a better job. Fine. But we did not see this one coming at us. We did not see an environment in which the banks would appear to be fleecing the average person and have absolutely no alternative.
Agreed. Not appear to be fleecing. They are fleecing. Now, in terms of the National Bank, if we can't or want, are not able to do a National Bank or don't want to do a National Bank at this point in time, how can the credit unions help? And I think that may be the angle to go for if the government doesn't want to.
You mean to get the credit unions to open a bank? But I don't know, you know, how willing they are to take that kind of risk. And part of what you face right now is that this is the era of correspondent banking and all of that. If you can't find correspondent, existing banks are having difficulty getting correspondent banks to stay with them. They have to fight hard for that. So new banks, you know, are going to have an even bigger challenge.
that issue of correspondent banks and facts and all that type of stuff is a whole another way of how the industrial powers out there are taking advantage of small countries like ourselves when they have the City of London and they have Delaware and stuff and the Bermuda and so forth and so on. And then when we do things the legal way, they put us on a blacklist. And
but they say that the return that they get from us, it cannot in any way compare with the risk that they are exposed to. That's where the problem is. And, you know, we have not heard much about this correspondent banking issue in recent times. The CARICOM heads of government recently met, and I didn't hear anything at all about it. It seemed as though it was off the agenda, giving the impression that it's a done deal. We no longer have to worry about it. We need to find out whether that is indeed so. Okay? Thank you very much.